Tuesday. What's today's date, Mark?
Is it the 10th?
Yes, it is the 10th. Yes, very good. And it's June the 10th in the year of our Lord 2014. And being Tuesday, it's a Rumination Thursday. And what hymn are we going to be looking at?
We are looking at Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed, a hymn by Martin Luther.
Oh, it's well known. Everyone knows that one, right? What did you say?
You're making fun of me. I told you before the program that I'm not real familiar with this hymn.
No, and there's another one. I don't know if you're a mighty fortress.
Yes, is our God. Yes,
I know that one.
We know that very well.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if you were familiar with any of the hymns of Martin Luther. Was a reformer during the time. And what page is it on?
Yeah, it's 498. And there's another one, 499. Two different melodies.
Two different melodies. Are the words exactly the same?
Pretty much. I think so.
Yes.
Same number of verses and stanzas. And I checked the I think they're almost exactly the same.
The original tune was from Geistlicher Lieder in 1531 out of Wittenberg. The new tune is arranged by Rabanus Moros, who died in 856, which is kind of interesting. It's a Sarum Plain song out of the 9th century. I have no idea what that means.
So Rabanus wrote the melody before the hymn was written?
No, I have to say the text was arranged by Rabanus. The hymn was in the 9th century, which would be during his time.
Oh, boy, that's early, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know.
It's early.
By the way, you made a mistake in one of our broadcasts recently.
Oh, my goodness.
My good friend, Henry Gehrke, we were talking about the author of one of the hymns.
Yes.
And one of us called him Columbia, and it's Columba.
Columba.
Yes. So I apologize.
I apologize.
That wasn't
Columba.
You. It was me who said it.
Oh, I see.
Come on.
So he corrected you.
Yes.
Well, he would know.
Oh, he really knows. He knows. I have interviewed him a number of times on hymns and things like that. And he also plays the organ here. Now, I'm preaching today, folks. So if you want to hear me preaching, you have to be here in 24 minutes.
Just about have to break the speed limit to get here.
Well, no, if your wife is, she can be here in 24 minutes. So,
I hear you have a difficult text this morning.
A very difficult one. You know, how can you be baptized after Pentecost and not receive the Holy Spirit? But we'll talk about that later. What I find interesting, this hymn is assigned for what Sunday?
Trinity Sunday.
And yet it says, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed.
Yes, but it is. It's a Trinitarian. In fact, the final stanza is a Trinitarian doxology.
You stand for
that stanza.
You got a question correct, which surprised me last time when I said, what person of the Trinity is emphasized on Pentecost?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes, that was very good. Yeah, because most people think the Holy Spirit right away. But if you take a look at the sermon, Peter's Pentecost sermon, he does talk about fulfillment, but then it's all about Jesus.
Absolutely. And because the Holy Spirit testifies, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, will testify about me.
Yes, yes. And guess what? We're going to start with verse 6.
Okay.
This is a Trinitarian hymn, if you would read that, and it makes the point you just made.
Right. Teach us to know the Father, Son, and you from both as three in one, that we your name may ever bless and in our lives the truth confess.
So what's the work of the Holy Spirit?
To teach us about the Father and the Son as well as himself.
Yes. Yes. In fact, read an interesting article not that long ago that we hardly know anything about the Father in the Bible. There's very little about the Father.
And there was a book that came out decades ago that was about the Holy Spirit. It was written by Professor Wunderlich.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And he wrote the title of that book was the Half-Known God or the
Little-Known God. Yeah, something along that lines.
And it was about the Holy Spirit.
I had classes with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was a member of my congregation.
Oh.
At Prince of Peace, yes.
Wow. Boy, so that was the only prof that ever joined your church. Okay.
No, we've had others.
In fact, you have a real good one there right now.
Absolutely. Professor Okamoto.
All right. I listened to him. He does one of my favorite books when he's talking about new students understanding Lutheranism, and that, of course, is the Heidelberg Disputation.
Yes.
You know, if you really want to understand Lutheranism. You know, this really is kind of come Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, to help us know the Father, Son, and you. And one of the most important things is to know about God's will. Not only about salvation. What use of the law is that?
That's the third use of the law.
Right. The first use is mainly for the government, a curb. The second use is...
to show us our sins.
Yes, and that's accusation. That's a primary use in the church.
In sermon, in preaching.
Right. And the third use is to let us know God's will. Now, I made a comment not long ago that I hardly ever used the third use of the law. But I don't know if you saw the front page of the Post-Dispatch today. Do you get that paper?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it yet.
They were talking about homosexual priests abusing children. And here's the quote. "I'm not sure whether I knew it was a crime or not. I understand today it's a crime." Now, who do you think said that?
I know who said it.
Oh.
Because I saw the news last night.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And it's Archbishop Robert Carlson. That's his name who said that.
Right.
He was being interviewed in about the many times in the 1980s when he didn't deal with them properly. But can you imagine? I'm not sure whether I knew it was a crime or not. Now, I talked to another pastor this morning. He said that he thought he had misspoken. And I don't see how he could not have misspoken. The only thing I can figure out is maybe he was saying it's immoral, but whether it was a crime. Because, you see, they did not call the police on hardly any of these. There was only one occasion when he asked. Now, there would be third use of the law.
Right.
Where you're informing someone. And today... our good friend, I like to call him Professor Bates, he had Gibbs on, and they're having a symposium, November the 8th, I think it is. It's on a Saturday.
Right.
And as I was listening to it, I said, now there's another use of the third use of the law that the Holy Spirit will use. They were talking about when people are infertile, and they're talking about how to become fertile.
Right.
They were giving the impression that a number of these methods are immoral.
Well, yes.
Well, I'm ignorant of that.
Well, of course, you know, in vitro fertilization. For one thing, you know, sometimes these...
embryos
are made or, you know, fertilized. They come into be and they don't use them.
Yeah.
Or they freeze them. Or they sell them.
I don't really want to get into the details here, but there would be another example of the third use of the law. In fact, I even mentioned that about the only time I ever use third use is in medical procedures, like when do you pull the plug? We never had those questions decades ago.
No.
Because nobody would live that long and such. And I just read a fascinating book given to me by Wes Reimnitz when I was preaching over there. And he goes to bed like at 8:30, and I stay up till 2, so I had to read something. It's about this doctor who questions when a person really dies. That they have had instances, like a young girl fell into the lake, and it was very, very cold.
Yes.
She was underwater for 2 hours.
Yes.
They came back and revived her.
Right.
And so he was making a point that you just can't use the stomping of the brain because there's a consciousness that still may be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really quite fascinating. He says that, for example, in I think it's England, they have a different understanding of when a person dies, when the brain waves stop. But in the United States, It's when the stem of the brain dies. And I guess there's a difference there they can tell. And so it was really quite fascinating, you know, to read that. So as I was going, now, unfortunately, this doctor, he believed in when people died and saw the light and all this. He said, well, his last statement in the book is something along these lines. We now know there's no reason to fear death. Which is ridiculous, because a lot of that can be put in by the devil or just your conscience. I mean, who doesn't have dreams these days? Do you have difficulty remembering your dream when you get up?
Sometimes.
Boy, I sure do.
Do you?
Yeah. And I love nightmares. Oh, I just
love they're great
them.
To wake up after.
Yes. It's not true. I just really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's a relief.
Pray for a nightmare. So
I don't like to go through them, though.
I don't care. if you wake up and they're not true, you know.
You don't mind how your heart races while you're sleeping, right?
I don't know if it does or not, because I'm asleep. I don't know what's going on. But this is going to have implications for pastors giving counseling as to when you pull the plug, if there is a consciousness that is still there. Now, he did come down. I guess what happens is I don't want to get too gory here, but the brain just really disintegrates.
Yes.
And at that point, that's definitely death, mm-hmm. because no consciousness would come back. But it was kind of interesting. It makes our job a little more difficult.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you have to trust the physician's opinion a little bit.
To a degree. And then we do have some, remember, theology is the art of making distinctions. And the big distinction we have is between active and passive euthanasia.
Right.
We do not permit active, where you actually put the person to death by giving them some kind of poison or something. Passive would mean, okay, we take the plugs out and then let God make the decision.
Right.
But that's getting more and more difficult with books like this saying, are we doing it too early? In fact, you know, he made a really interesting point. He was giving all kinds of examples. He was watching the movie The Titanic. And you know how many people died?
Oh, yes.
And he said, you know, they really made a mistake in bringing those people out of the water, presuming they were dead. Many of them, because of the coldness of the water, he believes could have been brought back, resuscitated.
Hmm.
And it really gets you thinking, you know, because the water really slows, cold water. You know, it's just really cold. So I don't know. It's we pastors... That's where third use would come, and that's where you really need the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have this distinction between active and passive euthanasia. If you would like to phone about any of this, don't hesitate to do so in the St. Louis area. It's 821-0850 and toll-free.
1-800-730-2727.
Now, because I'm preaching today, we're going to get off a little early in talking, and we're going to be playing the hymn, a rendition of it anyway, Come Holy Ghost Creator Blessed. So that's going to be coming up in about 10 minutes. So let's, that one verse I really wanted to make sure we hit, that the goal of the Holy Spirit is to teach us to know the Father, Son. I think another good verse is verse 2. Would you read that, please?
To you, the counselor, we cry. To you, the gift of God Most High, the fount of life, the fire of love, the soul's anointing from above.
Now, why is he called counselor?
Well, Jesus tells his disciples that the Father will send a counselor.
Yes, that's comforter. One of the translations.
Well, Paraclete, isn't it?
Yes, very good. Mm-hmm. And the other word is comforter, you said. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about a counselor, we're talking about one who comforts. I have never experienced one of the tragedies at one of these schools where some kid comes in and shoots people.
Oh, boy.
Then they send in counselors.
Yes.
I have no idea what those counselors would say.
I know.
Have you ever heard what they say?
No.
No. Because apart from Christ,
and you know,
how can you give any kind of comfort?
I know. And you know, it seems like that's years ago. I don't remember them doing that. Of course, you didn't have these tragic events. At least you didn't hear about them that much years ago. But
right.
I don't remember counselors being that much And I guess it can be helpful with these little kids, you know, when they see these traumatic events.
Well, we hear some.
But you're right. What comfort that they can they give if they can't talk about the comfort of the gospel and the comfort of our gracious God that's watching over us?
Well, I do know that after 9/11, a number of Lutheran pastors went on the scene, and there are some very good books written about what they were saying, and they were very, very helpful. Have you ever been a counselor on police or fire?
No, a chaplain, police chaplain?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
When I was at another congregation in Michigan, I joined the rural fire department because it was just fun having red lights on my car. But at any rate, I got to know those guys pretty good. And there were a number of times, though I wasn't their official chaplain, I would speak to them about Jesus Christ. And some of them even came to the church, joined the church. So we do have chaplains for the police.
Oh, yes.
As well as fire departments.
And they're much needed because they see some pretty traumatic events.
Our numbers, as I said, are 8210850 or
1-800-730-2727.
Let's go speak with Jan in Atlanta. Hi, Jan.
Hi. I have a question about Psalm 104, verses 29 and 30. We're leading up to Trinity Sunday, and you were asking about passages that speak to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And I was thinking about this passage making it kind of making the correlation between the hymn where the Holy Spirit is the creator.
Well, let Pastor Smith read the passage. Would you, verses 29 and 30 from Psalm 104, Mark?
Yeah. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground.
Yeah, I wanted that read because, of course, we're not talking about the original creation. We're talking about the recreation, which is the second life, namely a conversion done by the Holy Spirit. Would you agree with that, Jan?
I would. I think that, isn't it Colossians where he says nothing is made that he didn't make?
No, it's John chapter 1.
Okay, that's the Word.
Right, that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and there was nothing made that the Word did not create.
So, of course, the Creator can recreate.
Well, we've always said that in regard to creation and sanctification, all three persons participate. But in regard to the redemption, the death on the cross, only the second person of the Trinity died on the cross. The Father did not die, nor did the Holy Spirit. Okay?
Yeah. So what about my question with respect to sending forth your spirit?
Okay, what's the specific question?
Doesn't this psalm verse suggest that the Holy Spirit is the creator?
The creator of new life. Mark?
Right. Well, in fact, he was there at creation. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters.
I always like having Mark with me because he remembers better than I do memory. Can you begin the memory of the third article that Luther wrote?
I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him.
But
the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his grace, and sanctified and kept me in the true faith.
You see, and that's the part that would be a real good summary of Psalm 104, Jan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I would think too, Tom, that this talks about the fact if God were to withdraw his spirit from creation, it would fall apart.
It dies.
Yes. If God were to withdraw from his creation,
right,
the universe.
And that's why the only unforgivable sin is the sin against the
Holy Spirit.
Yes, because you die eternally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to your point earlier about when does something die, it's when God takes the spirit away from them.
Yeah, the question is, a lot of people seem to have died and the spirit gone, but then they were revived. And so the question for pastors is, when does the spirit leave? And that's a tough one. I remember Carl Borman, a very good pastor friend of mine. A woman was having a baby that was going to be born, stillborn, dead. And he baptized it while it was still in the womb. And so the question was it alive or not at that point? And doctors couldn't really say. But there's another example where we have a question, but we always try to go on the positive side. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks so very much then, Jan. Appreciate that call. We're not going to be able to take any more calls at this point. Anything, since we're not going to get through the entire hymn, anything in particular that you want to stress on this? I like stanza 5. Why don't you read that and then talk a little bit about it?
Drive far away our wily foe. That's the devil, of course. And your abiding peace bestow. With you as our protecting guide, no evil can with us abide.
That's very important. It doesn't say that no evil can come to us. It says no evil can abide with us. In other words, a mighty fortress. One word can fell him. So that every time I read that, the wily foe, you know what I think
about?
Oh,
yeah.
What?
I don't know. But I love that terminology because he is a sneaky creature.
Yeah. No, it's the bird that's always running away from the coyote.
Oh, you mean the Roadrunner?
Yeah, Roadrunner. And he calls...
He is a wily foe.
Yeah. The guy against him is.
Yes, that's right.
So every time I'm seeing this, I'm thinking of Roadrunner. But the devil is like that. You know, he goes to push us over the cliff. He misses us and he falls.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
That and that's eyes of faith to recognize that really is happening. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful gift. All right. Tomorrow on Gospel, we're going to be talking about how can someone be baptized after Pentecost and not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? So the question we're going to be asking is, well, did you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? So, your church services, what
yes,
time?
Yes, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection, Saturday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you visit us. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church out in Crestwood.
Okay, and as we indicated, I'm going to be preaching in the chapel right now, so we're leaving a little early, and we're going to give you a rendition of Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed. Thank you.
Grace and heavenly aid to fill us. Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.